First, I wanted to acknowledge this is a collaborative project between the immunization branch of the department and the emerging and acute infectious disease. So we worked on this project with Tony Aragon, Monica Gomez, and Kenzie Guerrero from the immunization branch. So just a little bit of background information about pertussis and why did we choose to look at pertussis and conscientious exemptions. In Texas, pertussis has reemerged as a public health issue in Texas since about 2000. So we've seen a lot of cases, more cases than we've seen in the last 20 to 30 years. Exemptions from immunization in Texas, before September 1 of 2003, Texas only allowed for exemptions due to medical reasons or because of religious beliefs. But our legislative session in 2003 made an amendment to allow exemptions for immunizations due to reasons of conscience, which we'll kind of refer to as conscientious exemptions. The other thing was that in September, we could only keep the total number of exemptions that were actually given out to individuals. And then in April of 2004, there were rule changes to where we were allowed to keep zip code data with the number of exemptions, but we're not allowed to keep any identifying information on the individuals who are requesting those exemptions. Just to kind of show you a little bit about the incidence of pertussis in Texas, we do see the 3 to 4 year cycle. With the latest cycle beginning in 2006, and the trend has been increasing in 2007. In 2008, we have about 1,800 cases reported. And so for this study, we decided to look at the time period pre-CE exemptions, which was 2000 to 2002, and then looking at post-CE 2005 to 2007 to see if there's any differences in the incidence of disease during that time. And a little bit of information about our exemptions for reason of conscience. It does include the religious belief, so right now we do not differentiate between the two. It's just you have an exemption due to medical reasons or an exemption for conscientious exemption. It applies to elementary and secondary schools and institutions of higher education. It does not apply for homeschooled children. And it does require that the parents request an affidavit form from the state, and they have to file this affidavit with the schools, and it cannot be replicated. And it also prohibits the state from maintaining any kind of record on the individuals who are requesting these affidavits. The duration of the exemptions in the beginning, in September of 03 till April of 04, they were valid for 5 years. So you'd have to request another exemption after that 5 year period. However, a change was made in May of 2004, which made them now valid only for 2 years. So the families have to renew the exemptions every 2 years for their children. And the procedure for obtaining the conscientious exemption affidavit form is that in the beginning, they had to actually mail or fax a request to the state office, including all the information that they wanted this affidavit, and had to have the name of the child, date of birth. However, in December 2007, rules were passed to make that request be available through the internet. And just some information on what is obtained on the affidavit form. It does have to have a seal. It cannot be replicated. It has to contain that following statement saying that the parent understands the benefits and risk of immunizations and the benefits and risk of not being immunized, and that they have received information about that. It has to be obtained in hard copy form, so they cannot come to the health department and request it. The request has to come in, and then we have some days to mail it back to them. It has to be signed by the person claiming the exemption, or if a minor, by their parent. And it has to be submitted within 90 days from being notarized to either the school or the child care facility. And then here's just a sample of what our affidavit form looks like. And so when the parent does complete it, they will put on there and note which vaccines they're exempting from. But at the state health department, we're not allowed to keep that information. And then just to kind of give you an idea of the total number of exemptions that we have in our state over the years. In 2003, about 3,000 exemption forms were requested. In 2008, that has jumped to about 17,000. And then on the timeline, just have the difference of when the exemption went into effect in 2003. The fax requests coming in at late December in April of 04, and then requesting being allowed over the internet in December of 07. And then this is just the request of exemptions that we get annually. by month, and you can see the red line is the requests for 2008, and you can kind of see the pink right before school year begins, that we get a lot of requests for these exemptions. So the objective of our study was to look at, because we get questions so many times, are we seeing more disease because of conscientious objectors? Is that attributing to our illnesses? So we decided to look and see, were there any correlation between areas with incidence of pertussis or high incidence of pertussis and these high CEs, were they correlated? The methods we used, the study population, as I said earlier, we decided to use the 2000 through 2002 disease data as pre-exemption era, and then 2005-2007 for post-exemption era. For the CE data, we decided to use 2005 through 2007 because we had full year of data in a consistent manner that was kept at that time period, and that's when it went through the two-year validation versus the five-year. And for the denominator, we decided to look at just the 0 to 18 year population. And for the 2000 through 2002 data, we used the 2000 census population for the counties. And then in 2005 to 2007, we used the 2006 estimated population data from our Center for Health Statistics. And for the analysis, we did calculate the incidence rates at the county level for per 1,000 population among those 0 to 18. And then used ArcGIS to kind of map the data to see, would we see hot spots in the same areas over the different years? And then used SAS 9.1 to do the PROC correlations to calculate the Spearman's correlation and some scatter plots. And so what did we find? First, we just wanted to look at the raw data. If we just looked at the actual number of exemptions by county, compared to the number of cases. So the red dots are actual individual pertussis cases. The gradient color are the number of exemptions. So the lighter the color, the lower the exemption number, and up into the blue is where you see higher concentrations of exemptors. And you would say that, you know, there's definitely a correlation. You know, we have a hot spot here, we have a hot spot here, and then hot spot there. But those are also our high populous areas. So we did, just out of curiosity, we did do the correlation coefficient. It was high, it was 0.81, saying that there was a statistically significant correlation. It was fairly high. But then we did go ahead and adjust the data, looking at population estimates. And this is the map of 2005 pertussis incidents. And on this scale, the white is zero, and then up to red gets a higher incidence. And our range of incidence in this population ranged from zero to about 7.7 cases per 1,000 population. And then if we look at our exemption rate, the scale here was zero to about 12.7. Requests per 1,000 population. Then we'll overlay the two, which on this one, the red gradient shows you the incidence of the CE, and then the green dots are the incidence of pertussis disease. And the greater bigger the size of the green dot, the bigger the rate there. So we were kind of interested to see, like in this area, it seems like there are some correlations, but then you see other areas where you might have a little dot but higher exemption. So where is there really a correlation or not? And when we did the correlation coefficient for 2005, it was statistically significant, but it was only like 0.2. So we also looked at the data by 2006, each of the years separately, and then we combined the data. So this is the map for the incidence in 2006, the rate of the conscientious exemptors, and then here is the overlay. And then once in 2006, we no longer had a significant correlation, and the correlation coefficient dropped to like 0.04. And then we looked at our 2007 data, and we saw the same type of relationship where we were seeing a lot more exemptors, but not necessarily a lot more disease in those areas. So we see a lot of areas that are red, kind of out here, but that we don't have any pertussis disease that has been reported to us. So then we also wanted to look at the incidence of disease, and did we see any differences over those time spans? And so here is the incidence overall for that time period of cumulative incidence, and then the average for 2000 to 2002, which is about five cases per 100 per 1,000 population in the 0 to 18-year-olds, compared to the 2005-2007, to where the average in the 0 to 18-year-olds was about 10. So we did see definitely more increase of disease during that time period, so that there was an increase in disease in those two different eras. So we looked at the map of cases in 2000 through 2002 and what the cumulative incidence was, and this is kind of what it looks like in contrast to what we're looking at, the 2005 to 2007. And then here's the conscientious exemption rates by county from 2005 to 2007. And then we went ahead and overlaid the pertussis disease on the exemption rates as well. And then we do see some areas where we do correlate fairly well, and then other areas were not so, that you see a high concentration of disease, but not necessarily a lot of exemptors in that area. So when we did the correlation coefficient, it was a statistically significant, but it was actually a weaker correlation. And this is just the scatter plot showing that data. And then we also thought, well, what if we took out all of our counties that didn't have no disease and they didn't have any CE exemptors, and what would happen to the relationship at that point? It was still statistically significant, but it didn't change dramatically. So one of the things that we will go back and do is kind of investigate further, like what if we took out low pertussis incidence and look at what is their relationship in the higher areas. So just some conclusions from what we've done on these preliminary analysis is that the unadjusted data shows that there was a strong correlation between pertussis disease and conscientious exemptors. And however, once you adjust by population at the county level, it indicates that there's a weaker correlation. However, further analysis are needed to better understand the relationship between disease and CEs. So we have plans to kind of go back and do some Poisson regression and cluster analysis to see if the clusters are actually related to one another. And we do have some limitations to our study. One is the fact that we can only keep the CE data on zip codes, so we really don't know that our individuals are requesting exemptions from pertussis disease or pertussis vaccine. We don't have the age of individuals, but we're assuming that the majority of the requesters are in that 0 to 18 population. And then we don't have the vaccine type. And then in the future, one of our challenges is that right now we don't keep whether when somebody's putting in a request, is it a new request or is it a renewal request? So it's going to kind of maybe affect our numerators in the future. And then our other thing is that since we only had zip code, we coded the CE data to county level by the zip centroid. So it may be that sometimes a zip code can be to multiple counties, but we went by the zip centroid, because so we may have misassigned them to the wrong county. And then we did not account for vaccination coverage levels or waning immunity into our analysis. And the other thing about the PCR or just pertussis and the increase is that we did introduce the PCR testing in 2003, which may also affect the increased incidence of disease that we're seeing. So, thank you very much.